Title: Resampling FX Chains for Unique Transitions Advanced. All right, let's get into one of the most powerful sounds like you meant it techniques in drum and bass. Resampling FX Chains to create transitions that feel custom, aggressive, and uniquely yours. The big idea is simple. Instead of automating 12 different lanes every time you want a big moment, you're going to perform an FX chain like an instrument, record the result to Audino, and then treat that audio like raw material. Reverse it, repitch it, warp it, chop it, layer it. This is how you get those gnarly uplifters, tip-stop-style moments. Vacuum sucks into the drop, glitch fills, impact tails the what just happened. Stuff that makes your arrangement feel expensive. And we're doing this with Ableton Live stock devices, in a way that stays arrangement ready for proper rolling DNB and jungle. First, what you're building. A little transition system you can point at any source. Drums, bass, Atmos, even the full pre-drop mix. And by the end, you'll have a mini personal library, like 4 to 8 transition audio clips you can drag into future projects and instantly level up your phrasing. Step 0. Choose your source. This is a very DNB decision, and it matters. If you pick the drum bus, you'll get the best jungle-style fills and those tape stop into drop illusions. If you pick the bass bus, you get that neuro vacuum energy, because distortion, filtering, and pitch on bass material creates insanely convincing suction and whoosh tones. Music and Atmos sources are great for cinematic risers and wide, airy movement, and resampling the full pre-drop mix is the most dramatic, but it's also the easiest to overdo, so you need discipline. Teacher tip: make your life easier by grouping into buses. Drums, bass, music, effects, and permaster. Even if you're messy normally, do it here. Resampling workflows love clean routing. Now, step 1. Build the FX chain. You're going to create what I'll call a transition rack. Put it on the source group, or if you want more control later, you can build it on a dedicated return as a throw lane. For now, we'll do insert style so it's straightforward. Start with an Audino effect rack and name it transition rack. The whole goal is performable controls. If you can't play it in one pass, simplify it. That's not a vibe quote, that's just workflow truth. Inside the rack, first device, EQ8, high pass around 30 to 40 Hz with a steep slope. This is you preventing sub chaos before it starts. If it gets boxy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. You're just cleaning. Next, saturator, analog clip mode. Drive somewhere like 3 to 8 dB depending on how hot your source is. Soft clip on. This makes the effect feel dense and loud without instantly exploding. Then, Redux. This is optional, but in DNB it's basically a secret sauce for crunchy movement. Bit reduction around 6 to 10. Downsample maybe 2 to 6. Don't commit to extremes yet. We'll map the dry wet so you can bring it in at the end like a damage moment. After that, auto filter. Choose OSR if you want clean, or MS2 if you want character. This is your main suck sweep. You'll map the frequency to a macro for performance, and I also want you to add a little envelope amount, like 10 to 25%. With a short decay, that envelope adds micro motion so the filter doesn't feel like a static sweep. Then, hybrid reverb, hall or shimmer, but be tasteful. Decay somewhere like 3 to 10 seconds depending on whether you want a quick puff or a long tail. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds to keep the transient readable. And cut lows under about 200 Hz in the reverb EQ. Always. In DNB, low reverb is basically mud unless you're doing a special effect on purpose. Next. Delay, or echo if you prefer. Stock delay is clean and easy. Set it synced. 1/8 or 1/16 is usually the sweet spot for rolls. Feedback around 25 to 55%. Filter it. High pass around 300 Hz. Low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. That keeps the repeats out of the way and avoids fizzy buildup. Then, utility. This is your width and output control. Width maybe 120 to 160% for big tails, but you've got to respect the drop. You can go wide during the build and then narrow hard at the hit. Also set gain so your resample doesn't clip. Now, map macros. This is where the rack becomes playable. A great set is filter sweep on the auto filter frequency, crush amount on redux dry wet, space on hybrid reverb dry wet, echo on delay dry wet, damage on saturator drive, width on utility width, tail kill either on the reverb decay or a gain drop, and output on utility gain. Tail kill is special. You want one control that can instantly remove the wash so the drop hits clean, or do the opposite, slam it open into a huge bloom. That single move can make your arrangement feel like it's breathing. Step 2. Create a dedicated resample track. Add an audio track and name it Resample Print. Now you have a routing choice, and this is an advanced producer choice, not just a technical one. Option 1. Record from the bus post FX. So audio from, choose drums or bass, and set it to post FX. This prints the transition independent of what you later do on the premaster. It's more reusable across projects, and it's safer if you like to change your master chain later. Option 2. Set audio from to resampling, which records whatever is hitting the master. This prints exactly what the listener hears in that moment. It's dramatic, and it can sound incredible, but if your premaster is clipping or your master chain is doing heavy stuff, you're baking that into the audio. Set monitoring to off to avoid feedback, and arm the track. Extra coach note here, try printing pre-fader and mixing later. In other words, keep your source bus fader stable and safe while you record the performance, then do your loudness decisions on the printed audio clip. That avoids the classic situation, where the effect is amazing but it's way too loud, and now you can't use it in other songs. Step 3. Perform the transition. This is where you stop drawing automation and start playing the rack. Go to Arrangement View. Loop the last 1 to 2 bars before a phrase change. For example, bars 15 to 17, right before a drop. Hit record and move your macros live. Here's a reliable performance arc. Start subtle. A touch of space and a gentle filter sweep. As you approach the final beats, bring in crush for aggression. Add delay for rhythmic smear. Then on the very last moment, either kill the tail so the drop punches, or do the opposite and slam into a big wash if the drop is sparse. Timing tip. The money moments are usually beat 4 of bar 8 or 16 for fills, and the last 1/8 or 1/16 before the drop for a micro suck. That tiny last millisecond move is often what makes the drop feel like it hits harder. Record 2 to 4 takes. I know you want to nail it in one pass. Don't. One take syndrome is real, and the best bits are usually happy accidents. Advanced workflow upgrade, due to quick prints as resample stems. One dryish take with mostly filter and light saturation, and one wet take with heavy reverb and delay. Then you can layer them later. The dry layer gives definition and punch. The wet layer gives size and emotion. That's how you get impact without drowning the drop transient. Step 4. Edit the resample into transition gold. You've now got audio on resample print. This is where you become an editor, not an automator. First, make a reverse suck in. Take the best tail or wash, duplicate it, then reverse it in the clip. Add a small fade in, even just a few milliseconds, to avoid clicks. Choose warp mode based on the content. If it's tonal, use Complex Pro and play with formants lightly, like 0 to 30. If it's drums or noisy material, use Beats mode. Preserve transients and set the envelope around 40 to 70. Then place that reversed clip so it ends exactly on the drop. That ends on the drop alignment is everything. If it's late by even a tiny amount, the illusion collapses. Second, create an impact tail for post-drop glue. Find the loudest, most exciting bloom. Trim it to a tight 1 bar, or even half a bar. If you need more tail, add hybrid reverb after the clip, but keep it controlled. Eck it, high pass 30 to 60 Hz, and if it bites, notch a bit around 2 to 5 kHz. Then place it right after the drop hit, low in volume. It's not supposed to be obvious. It's supposed to make the drop feel bigger without anyone consciously hearing reverb. Third, make a jungle glitch. Set warp to beats. Preserve maybe 1/16th. Envelope 20 to 40 for tighter gating. Pitch it down with clip transposition, like -3 to -12 semitones for darker tone. Chop it into a half bar fill, repeat it, and do tiny variations. Even just shifting the start point or changing warp settings slightly can make it feel like a deliberate pattern instead of a loop. Now step 5. Add movement with quick post-processing on the printed track. Think of this as your transition channel strip. Add auto pan for stereo motion. Rate 1/4 or 1/8, amount maybe 20 to 50%. Phase at 180 degrees for a wide swirl. Then do some mid-side discipline with EQ8. On the side channel, high pass around 150 to 300 Hz so the low end stays monosafe. If it needs density, use glue compressor or drum bus very lightly, and only use selimeter if you need it. Transitions should breathe. If you crush them too hard, they stop feeling like transitions and start feeling like a competing lead. Advanced trick, sidechain the printed transition to the kick, or a ghost kick at the drop. Put a compressor on the transition clip. Enable sidechain, feed it the kick. This lets you keep a long, expensive tail without masking the first downbeat. It's basically have your cake and still let the kick punch. Another advanced trick, rhythmic gating without a gate. Set autopan to a square wave, shape all the way up, phase at 0 degrees so it chops in mono. Map the amount to a macro and perform it right before the drop, then resample that. This is how you get those mechanical neuro fills without drawing a million edits. Step 6. Arrange like a DNB producer. Here's a repeatable 16-bar phrase layout. Bars 13 to 15. Run a subtle riser. Maybe that reverse tail low in the mix. Maybe slightly narrow so it's not screaming look at me. Bar 16. Hit them with a short aggressive glitch fill, like half a bar. Then do a micro suck in the last 1/8. Drop bar 1. Add a quiet impact tail and maybe a short stereo wash, but keep it out of the center. Drop bar 2. Clear it. Let the groove breathe. Golden rule. Do not let your transition steal the first kick and the first bass note. That's your payout. If the transition masks that moment, your drop will feel smaller, even if the transition sounded insane in solo. Quick drop masking test. Solo the kick and sub with the transition playing. If the first kick or first bass note loses definition, shorten the tail, narrow the width, or sidechain harder. Do this before you commit and build the whole arrangement around a flawed transition. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't resample while the premaster is clipping, because that distortion is now permanent. Don't leave sub information in reverb and delay tails. Don't go over wide right at the hit. And don't trust a single take. Pro tips for darker and heavier DNB. Pitch down your resamples hard. Minus 7 to minus 12 semitones can turn a normal tail into something ominous and massive, especially if it's printed from the bass bus. If Redux adds fizz, tame 6 to 10 kHz with EQ after. For vacuum effects, automate filter resonance up near the end. Reverb size or decay up. Then hard cut with a utility gain drop right on the drop. Silence is impact. Also layer a noise whoosh under your resample, so the transition reads on small speakers. You can do this with operator noise or a simple noise sample. This audio version is shortened for playback.